Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix the Miracle Radio Show!
Hey folks, it's time for the show!
Welcome!
And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
New studio of mine is a little strange, but we're getting there. All right. Welcome to the Jack Hatfield Show that hasn't been on the air in almost forever. But this one is going to be amazing. We are looking and witnessing things. I don't know if you've listened to previous shows, but this is a bonus show. Because we have somebody special that has a unique perspective, and he's going to be calling in a few minutes. And let me tell him to go ahead and call in now so that we can get more of his insight. He's got a very unique perspective, Pastor Sylvester Brown out of Atlanta, Georgia right now. He used to live in South Carolina, used to live in Florida, and he said one other place I don't recall, but... we spoke earlier, and the insights that he gives are pretty amazing. So as soon as we get him on the air, this bonus show will help you grasp the fact that I'm sure you see it every day in a grocery store, Walmart, or Target, where a parent has a kid in a buggy, and the kid is simply looking at a phone or a tablet or watching a cartoon or watching a YouTube video. And then when they get home, about the same thing occurs. The kid gets on a computer, goes through a YouTube video, and then just goes down the YouTube hole for the next 400 hours. We've got... Pastor, you here? Hang on. I'm learning buttons. This is all new. Pastor, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, hang on one second. I was giving people a heads up on... how we've witnessed, you know, kids walking through a Walmart, a Target, or grocery store with their head in their technology and their head in their iPad. And I was setting all that up, and I was then telling them that you're going to be calling in, and you're now in here, and you have this very unique perspective. I've told them we've talked earlier, and what you have witnessed and what you come up with, and the fact that, you know, you being a pastor, you get to see a lot of families around the dinner table. So that is going to really, really bring a unique insight into this. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. How you doing?
I'm doing great. All right. So, tell everyone a little bit about yourself. I have, your website, renewmylife.org inside the tabs and tags for this show. I know that people can go there and see what you're all about, and you have several books out, and you've been on radio and all kind of stuff. Just tell them a little bit about yourself first, and then we'll dive into some questions.
Yeah, so my name is Pastor Sylvester Brown. I'm originally from South Carolina, but I'm living here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I love... helping people to transform their lives by using their subconscious mind. And you know, back in the day when I was shot in 2003, that helped transform my life. It helped me to learn how to look at life differently with perspective and with using the mindset. And I just learned a lot about human behavior, the way we think, and all kind of things of nature. So I'm excited that to be out here helping people. And, you know, again, I got two books out. One of them is called Time Will Tell. I wrote that book in 2011.
A little louder, Ms. Pastor Brown, a little louder so they can hear you.
Okay. And I wrote this book, Time Will Tell. And is that better?
No, it actually got less. But Time Will Tell is one of the first books. Yes, keep going.
Yes, I wrote the book Time Will Tell. And then that came out in 2011. That book is about how to balance your life, on how to attract anything that you want in life. And then I also wrote a book called The Priceless Seed, People, on how to deal with people. And that book is available too through the Kindle, but the first book is available everywhere. So, and the name of my church is called Renew My Life. Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's at renewmylife.org, right?
At renewmylife.org, right?
Correct. Okay.
So
perfect. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of people around the Atlanta area that go to your church are very, very proud that you're there. And we are connecting, and we have connected because we both feel that we're witnessing something that is probably not good for families. And I'm an IT expert. I'm an IT professional. I fix computers for a living. So I know firsthand how deep down the computer hole you can go, because I'm on them every day, but I don't do anything with them. I work on them and that kind of thing, and then that's about it. So
Right. That's
my perspective. But then when we got together, your perspective was that you witnessed kids inside of GameStop, how they're different, and then you also witnessed how a child that you were around went from soccer and basketball to want to be left alone and a loner. So tell us about that.
Right. So I met this lady that I was interested in, and we started dating. And then after a while, you know, of course, we eventually started keeping her kids, and she would go on business trips and things of that nature. And when she was going on trips and that, so I was involved heavily with her kids because I had a lot of free time. And so at first, her son would play soccer with me and play basketball with me because he's good in soccer. He's really great in soccer. But when he got that Xbox One during Christmas time, his mindset changed. When he got on that Game of Thrones, all he wanted to do was just be on that game all day long, and he did not want to be involved with nobody but him in that game. And it transformed his mindset. It made his attitude different. It made him have he got a little meaner. Like, he didn't want to come out of his room. He would get mad at us. Anytime it was time to eat, he'll eat and go right back into that room and start playing that game again, and it just really messed up his mindset, because that's all he wanted to do. And, you know, he does it when a child is involved with technology like that, it makes them want to be alone with just them in the technology. Sometimes they don't want to be around their parents or friends or none of that. They just want to be around just them in that technology. They feel like that's a sense of peace, and they associate that with peace, just like some associate that with relaxation with cigarettes. And it's not a great thing for kids, because when it comes to danger, anybody can really grab a child just by using a video game or anything of that nature, something fun, and they can just catch him just like that. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you yeah. said he just went through, kind of withdrew from the family and withdrew from the things he was doing physically.
Right. He stopped playing soccer with me. He stopped playing basketball with me. And all he wanted to do was just play that video game. And even she had two girls just as well. And every time I come to the house, the first thing those girls would ask me is, where's your telephone and where's your iPad? All they wanted was my technology, my electronics. They didn't ask me how I was doing. They didn't say how was the day or none of that. They just wanted my electronics.
Hello. How you doing?
Right. And so, you know, the association and the attachment of the electronics is really transforming the minds of these little kids, because they don't want to be, you know, building relationships with another human being. They want to build a relationship with the electronic, and it's not making them grow in life. And so I think it really it's a real disadvantage when it comes to technology, when it comes to kids. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you even went deeper, because you talked about the subconscious and how this was getting into their subconscious even when they weren't playing the games, right?
Right, right. Because what happened is when we would go out to the mall or go out to different places, what happened is since they're so involved with the electronics, the subconscious mind is transformed by repeated habit. And as they keep getting on, her son kept getting on that game, and as her daughters kept getting my electronics, when we would go out and about, the first thing their mind would notice is games and fun. Things that are fun and things that are attuned to electronics. They would run into the GameStop and want to run away from me just to play those games. And that was a dangerous move, too, because when they run away from the parents, you know, when kids run away from parents, anybody can just snatch them up. And
right.
Their subconscious mind noticed everything that involved with electronics. And what happened is, it's just like when anybody get a car. It's like before you get a car, you didn't notice that car nowhere. But the moment you get that car and you drove that car off the lot, you see that car everywhere.
Correct.
And right, and that's the programming of the subconscious mind. There's something in the back of your spine that's connected to your brain. It's called a reticular activating system, and it helps you to notice your car everywhere. But what happened is when those kids get into those electronics, and that's all they are playing all day long and doing all day long, it's programming their mindset just to see nothing but electronics. It does not let them see danger. It does not let them see a bad person, none of that stuff. They don't become aware of what's around them. Their subconscious mind is programmed to see nothing but games, electronics, and that's what they be attached to, and that's all they notice. Just like you see a car everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Right. And wouldn't you attribute that a little bit to like when you look down at your phone while you're driving and you look back up and you've already went 100 yards? I mean, these kids are walking through malls without even knowing what's around them.
That is true. Absolutely. Their subconscious is walking through the process with their head down at the electronic as they're going into their place and being distracted by that. And so
another danger, because they're not aware of their surroundings. And many articles are even starting to come up that, you know, they're hunching over so much that we're actually hindering their growth. So that's a whole nother thing. You talked about that subconscious a little bit, and then you talked about how in unique ways, because of you being a pastor, people come to you for a lot of different things. And I asked you, they come to you for these children issues, and you said that's pretty low on the list, but when they do, it's big. But what are the other things they come to you for?
Number one on the list, they come to me about finances. That's always number one. Most marriages, that the husband and wife, when they come to me, it'd be about finances. One of them is a spender, and the other is a saver. And it'd be out of balance. So the number one on that list is finances, and the second one is relationships. And so what I do is I try to show them that it's a mind thing. It's all in the mind.
Right,
it's all in the mind. And that's why a lot of advertisers try to advertise to people repeatedly, because they try to get your mind. And
correct.
What happened is, And so counseling a lot of people numerous years, and the finances is number one, relationship is number two. And a lot of times what happened is a lot of people forget that children have feelings, okay? They should be coming to me, most of them should come to me about their entire family with the children involved, because a lot of times when I be counseling children, they be telling me that their parents don't understand. That's the number one thing that they be saying to me. They be like, their parents do not understand me.
Well, and that's the song. I mean, parents just don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, Will Smith did say that too.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Will Smith did say that. Because a lot of times the parents are just, they don't listen to their children. They just, you know, they'll say things like, a child needs to stay in a child's place, or, you know, the older people will say something like that. But the younger ones are just give them to their moms or dad, or give them to the school, or give them to the daycare, and then don't get involved with these kids' lives. But this is how technology is really taking their mind away from real life, you know, activity, because, you know, the parents are not really getting involved into their life, and that's what they really need in this world, is that parents getting involved in children's lives, especially not just giving them a technology so they can be quiet, but to really learn about that child, ask them questions, and get to know their child. And
right. You were talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the best times to do that is during when you're having dinner together. That's the best time to do it, when you're having dinner together. I would, if anything, I would create a family moment during dinner time. That's the one of the most effective times to have a family moment, and to ask a lot of questions and to talk about, you know, where you want to be in life, what you want to be in life,
mm-hmm.
things about the future, and, you know, just get to really know one another during that time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And back to your point on the old school and younger parenting. So we're not, the kids, you know, their mind is a little less ready for this technology, because, you know, they're still growing, they're still learning, they're still susceptible to this technology and what it is capable of with all its artificial intelligence and algorithms and et cetera. And you were
right.
Saying like an old school type parent, not really listening to their kids, because they always say, you know, keep the kids in their place. And then the younger parent is simply the one that puts the iPad as the parent in front of them and lets them go down the YouTube hole.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. They just want them to be quiet, you know, just not to bother them, so they can do whatever they want to do. And
so,
that's not an effective way, because what happened is this, is that however a child grow up, their thinking comes from that way of growing up, and then they act it out as an adult. That's why it affects people as an adult, because how you grew up in, as an adult, like your environment, the way you was talked to from your parents, the way you model your parents, or whatever the case may be, or whatever experiences you had as a child, it comes out of a person as an adult, and 9 times out of 10, it's not that effective. Mm-hmm.
So you're pointing out that you've noticed a lot of parenting issues in this, and that it's really, again, not 100% the child's fault in this activity. And your perspective on sitting down at the dinner table with different groups of people was amazing. And the way you've talked about it, would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes. And so around that dinner table time, I learned that that's the very most effective time, like I said, again before. And with different races, and I have to say that I have to be honest with the different races on how they conduct themselves when it comes to the dinner table. Everybody has a different perspective, and different races have a different way of doing it. And people can agree with me or not, but as I've been sitting with multiple different families for years and years and years, and I do a lot of research, and I do a lot of statistics, and I do a lot of writing, what I came to see is that the Caucasian families around the dinner table, they talk about their future. They talk about business. They talk about finances. They're talking about their future a lot. I noticed that they talk about their future a lot. They talk about how, you know, about college. They're talking about opening up businesses, or how to become the top CEO in the company that they're working for. They talk about those things a lot. The Mexican family, they talk about culture a lot, you know, getting together a lot, talking about family events. They do a lot of things together. But the African-American or the black family, they talk about the past a lot. And, You know, they're talking about, I remember I did this. They're talking, then they talk about other people, and it's kind of like a lot of drama going on sometimes at the dinner table, and that's not effective with the children because they're experiencing what they see. Okay, and when they experience what they see, okay, it's programming their mindset to have a negative impact that they don't believe in themselves when they become an adult. And research shows like 85% of people, it affects 85% of the people in the world. Research shows that 85% of the people in this world have financial problems.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the best time to really have an effective conversation is during dinner time. And so these different cultures, the Japanese people, what they do is they talk about improving their life. They wear at the dinner table is improving their lifestyle. There's something called keizai. I think that's a Japanese term for a constant and never ending improvement. There's a guy named Dempsey, I believe. Uh-huh.
Was that an acronym?
Well, it's a word kanai in America. The word kanai is K-A-N-I. Is the American word. The Japanese says keizai, K-A-Z-I, stand for a constant and never ending improvement. And what happened is that the Japanese people, they focus more on improving any and everything in their life. They focus on improving their relationship, improving their business, improving technology, whatever the case may be. Around the dinner table, they talk about improving. And they go to school. Most of them go to school for like 12 to 14 hours a day when Americans go to school for like 8 hours. So you can imagine how their focus level is. So it's all about focusing on what you really need to focus on instead of putting these kids' mind on these technologies where it's messing up their mindset because it creates a loneliness in their mindset. It creates a loneliness. They don't develop human skills. They develop technology skills that messes up their mind. To just focus on having technology in front of their face and to neglect everything else. Mm-hmm.
Right. And when you said we go to school for 8 hours, there's also been a study where there's actually been only 20 minutes of actual instruction in those 8 hours. So it's not really equal.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of moving and going to lunch and roll call and a whole bunch of not learning at the same time.
Right.
So that is amazing right there. Constant and never-ending improvement on the Japanese dinner table. African-Americans talking about the history, and you said a lot of drama, and then Mexicans go talk about their culture and their events so that, I guess, succeeding generations would be working on keeping the events going, right? Then Caucasians talk about future and finances and how they can improve in their jobs and their lives. So when you're sitting down with all those different cultures and races and you're looking at what the kids are doing, which ones are sitting with a tablet at the table more?
That's a really good question.
Or do people actually still have dinner, because there was a big study that dinner is dying?
Yeah, it is. It is dying. It just depends on the ages now, because the younger people are not doing it at all.
Right.
The younger generation are doing it. The older generation are doing it.
The younger generation have no problem ordering off an app, Taco Bell, something they could drive through and get in 2 seconds.
Right.
But that doesn't make sense to me, but I'm, you know, if you're hungry, go for it. But, with the dinner going away, what do you see as the kids when you're sitting there? Which kids are more susceptible for the technology and how do we fix that?
You said, what happened is that I noticed that all the cultures, well, except for the Mexican family, they don't have the technology on the table. Now, the Caucasian does, their kids do, and the African-American and the black kids do. I noticed that. However, the difference is that the Caucasian kids, they're on their phone either looking up things what their parents are talking about, like as in business or something like that,
Mm-hmm.
So that they can conduct a better future. And but with the, you know, the black family, they're on their phone, you know, probably on Facebook, Instagram, you know, things of that nature, so that they can see what's going on, to see what's going on in other people's lives, so that they can post stuff and do whatever's going on. But in order for these kids to become better, if they want to use technology, not use technology just for fun, but use technology to advance their life, will be better. Like you can use your phone nowadays, so you can conduct business. You can, if you're going to be on your phone and use technology, use Instagram to make money from it, or to share life changing information, or to open up a business. Versus you know teaching these kids. My daughter and my son. I got two sons and a daughter, and I send them. We live in two different states, so I send them books. Okay, I send them books, and they. My middle son, he be using his technology more than the other two, but my daughter, she reads a lot of books versus being on technology, and I share with them that these books is going to change your life versus using these technologies. And so my youngest son and my daughter, she the oldest, they use books more than my middle son. He use technology a lot, but he tried to use technology as in you know, he'd be on Facebook and all the other stuff because he's still a kid. He's going to do that, of course. My daughter does that too, but not as much. But she's focused more on getting her. She's focused more on getting her future together and becoming a marriage counselor. So So with her, you know, as she's going to school and as she's working more on her goal and her dreams more than being on technology itself. So
right.
When she's doing things on, right. So when she's on Facebook and all this other stuff, yes, she posts other stuff, but she's also posting things that she's doing to conduct a better lifestyle. And,
right.
So
she's kind of using it as documenting her growth and her success.
Right. Exactly. And so
versus hey, look,
mm-hmm.
I'm eating a banana today.
Right. Right, because that's not important, you know. Things like that is not important. But when you're using it to make a better lifestyle, then, yeah, it helps in that way. And not just to be on it and not to be on it all the time either, because you can, you know, a lot of people be – these cell phones really capturing our mindset, especially the way how these Apple phones are. You can do anything. It's like a computer in your hand, and it's getting very addictive. And it could be a huge disadvantage because now we're not having human relationship. We have a computer relationship.
Right. And like way back at the beginning when you said, you know, playing that game, he goes down, the algorithms in the game make the brain and dopamine start coming into their brain every time they achieve a new level in the game, and that keeps them
– right.
They got to keep going after that rush, just like an addiction, just like a cigarette, just like you said. And you saw that as he just kept going away from people, which is what an addict would do. They go away and they'd hole up, and he kept doing that.
Right. Exactly. Yep. That is absolutely true. The experience of getting to the next level is an addiction. That's a good point you make. That's a really good point. And it, what happened is it floods the brain. That dopamine floods the brain with more enhancement of seeing more of that video game and seeing more of electronics all in that brain. And it reinforces that brain just to see nothing but that, electronics, like fun.
Yep.
And it just flushes out everything else. That's why everybody have a different perspective on life, because their mind has been programmed by a different experience growing up. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Well, I just got told that we have only 53 seconds left. I wish I would have made this an hour long, because I'm pretty sure we could have kept going. But this is a bonus episode. I wanted to make sure that everyone heard from you. Pastor Brown, I really appreciate you joining us. You are at renewmylife.org. There's two books by the pastor. And his insight, if you have a contact us on that page, so if you'd like to contact Pastor Brown on any of your situations or any of this that he has noticed or talked about, you can ask him questions, I'm sure, right?
Absolutely. I'm more than welcome to answer any questions, to help out, and do whatever I can to get you to on the next level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Brown. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, too. My pleasure.
All right.
Have a good one.
Have a great one.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.